Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from our Gospel reading from the fourth chapter of St. Luke, with an emphasis on these words. "And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. When there's something strange in the neighborhood, who are you going to call? All right, that was a test, and you all passed. But I have to confess to you this morning, dear friends, that whenever I hear stories about demons or possessions or spiritual affliction, sadly, this is often where my mind wanders. I trivialize what really is a very serious oppression brought on by sin because, well, frankly, so much of what we're exposed to in our culture and in our media, it just gets the details all wrong. However, as we see Jesus in today's gospel reading exorcising demons and healing the sick by the power and the authority of his word, well, we see that there's really nothing trivial at all about it. Returning briefly to the example of the Ghostbusters, you might remember a certain line in that movie that was delivered by Bill Murray's character, Dr. Peter Venkman. As the film progresses and as the Ghostbusters business starts to take off around the city, the team is approached by a news reporter looking for a comment about all the paranormal phenomena that has been plaguing New York. Now, Venkman, seeing it as an opportunity to advance his business, he's all bravado. He rashly declares, 24/7, we're there for you. There's no problem too big, and no fee is too big. You know what I love about this line is that it's delivered with all of the flair of someone who has no real business making this kind of promise. Venkman was really a con man with more confidence than credibility. But still, the line resonates with us just a little bit. And not just for its comedic value, but because it taps into something that each and every one of us has hoped for at some point in life. We've all wanted someone who is able to help us with those big problems in life that we can't handle for ourselves. Of course, Venkman is quick to remind us that such help as this does not come cheap. No job is too big, no fee is too big. But when we examine our gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 4, well, we see an example of the exact opposite. Jesus comes in power and in authority to the ill and the oppressed. He comes to heal and to rescue, but he doesn't come demanding a fee. Rather, he comes to take the fee, every single penalty of our sinful disobedience upon himself to win us back from sin, death, and the devil. Today we see clearly that there is no part of this body and life which is not under Christ's authority as true God. He tackles problems that seem far too big for any one of us to handle, things like casting out demons. But in this very same text, we also see him address problems that might seem too small to even be bothered with, things like healing his friend's mother-in-law of a fever. In so doing, Jesus demonstrates that there is nothing beyond his power and there is nothing beneath his care. He is the Savior who takes an interest in every aspect of our lives, who loves us completely, and who comes to pay the ultimate price to redeem us. So let's dig in. Our text begins with Jesus teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. You might recall from the other week, he was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth and so moved his base of operations, as it were, to the port city of Capernaum. There, as he spoke, the people who were unfamiliar with him were amazed at his teaching because his word possessed authority. That is, it was distinct from the mere commentary of rabbis or scholars or, in our case, pastors. His words didn't simply point to God like we're called and ordained to do, but instead they revealed Jesus himself to be God. For Jesus' word was performative, meaning that when he spoke, things happened. The will of God was made manifest through the incarnate word, and by his mere utterance, Jesus was able to do those things which we are unable to do for himself, for ourselves. This authority, however, was not merely manifest in his word, but it was manifest in those actions which came out of his word. As Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath day, a man possessed by a demon approached him, drawing the crowd's attention away. It cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Strange that the demon's words here in this text reveal to us a very critical truth. You see, even the forces of evil must recognize Jesus' authority. They know exactly who he is, and we see they know exactly what it is he has come to do. But this acknowledgement of the demon is not worship, nor is it a statement of faith. It's a statement of fear. The demon's cry is a desperate attempt to resist the inevitable. For by revealing who Jesus was apart from his messianic task, the crux of Jesus' mission to rescue mankind from their sins through his suffering and death, well, that would be undermined. This is the whole reason for the messianic secret that we see in the Gospels. Jesus demanded his disciples tell no one who he was until the proper time, because they lacked the context to rightly interpret his preaching and his teaching and his miracles. The work of the Christ must always direct us to the cross. The demon, then, by trying to give away the messianic secret without the knowledge of the cross, he futilely attempts to prevent Jesus from accomplishing his task. And so, with a simple command, Jesus silences the demon and at once drives it out. "Be silent and come out of him," he says. These words, these simple words, and the immediate effect they have leave the crowds assembled to witness astounded. We hear how they pondered amongst themselves, "What is this word?" For with authority and power, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out. And yet, despite sharing in their awe, what's truly astounding to us about this exorcism is how simple it is. Nothing that we might expect or think to try for ourselves is present. Nothing that Hollywood has conditioned us to believe should be here is here. There's no ritual, there's no incantation, and there's no ghost-busting vacuum cleaner. It's just the authoritative word of God. And what does that authoritative word of God do? Well, it's present to take back what is his from the hand of the enemy. Here we see that there is no job too big for Jesus. For who among us could face down something so dreadful as a demon? Who among us has the power to confront darkness such as this, darkness brought about by sin and its wages, and still win? And yet for Jesus, with the simplicity of his words, he reveals that this to him is no challenge at all. For he is precisely what the demon said he was. He's the Son of God. And therefore, his authority extends over all creation, even including those demonic forces that oppose him. His miracle in the synagogue at Capernaum still was a preview of the much greater victory that he came to win over the devil. For on Calvary's cross, Jesus would silence the voice of our accuser and deliver us out of his hand once and for all. So today we rejoice in this gospel miracle because it means that there is no power or burden or trial of this life that is too big for our Savior to handle. Whether it's the burden of a guilty conscience, whether it's the pain of loss, or whether it's the terror of the enemy, our Lord Jesus urges us to lay down every fear and suffering before his mercy seat. Luke 4 shows us that he has authority over every power in heaven and on earth, and now, crucially, what is it that we see him do with this authority as true God? He uses it always for our blessing and benefit. Not only in those areas that we're unable to handle on our own, for just as no job is too big for him, so we also see that no problem is too small. After leaving the synagogue, we read that Jesus departed and went to the home of Simon Peter, his disciple, where his mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and there they appealed to him on her behalf. Now, reading this, you might be tempted to think that compared to the drama of casting out a demon, this issue of the fever seems like a pretty minor issue. Just as we trivialize demonic oppression in our modern day as nothing but mere superstition, so also are we tempted to marginalize issues like seasonal illness as being somehow beneath God's station to help. You know, we pray constantly in this church for people who have every malady from cancer diagnoses to open heart surgeries. But a fever? Well, a fever is certainly not as visibly dramatic or anywhere near as frightening as a demonic possession. In fact, you've all probably had something by this point in the flu season. We might even assume that the Most High God would recommend a little bit of bed rest or a cold compress or maybe some vitamin C before bringing it to him. Yet, friends, Jesus' response to his disciples' mother-in-law, it shows us that he cares just as deeply about the small problems as he does the big ones. Jesus stood over her, not asking any questions. In the same nonchalant manner that he cast out the demon, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And what was the result? Immediately, she was healed, and she got up and began to serve them. Friends, this miracle reveals something wonderful, something astounding about the heart of our Savior. There is no problem too trivial or too insignificant for his attention. He does not dismiss Peter's mother-in-law's fever as somehow unworthy of his attention. Instead, he takes a personal interest in her, and he gives her healing completely and freely. What a tremendous comfort this is to know when we suffer. Sometimes we might hesitate to bring our concerns to God because we think they're too small, too trivial, unworthy of his attention. Surely, we think, he has bigger things to deal with than my worries. But Jesus' actions here in Luke chapter 4, they remind us that he cares about every aspect of our lives, not just the big ones. Just as he created us, knitting us together in our mother's wombs, so also does he care about every aspect of our lives, for we belong to him. There is no detail too small for his attention. There's no problem too minor for his compassion. Whether it's a fever, or a stressful day at work, or an argument with a loved one, our Savior desires that we entrust it all to him. St. Peter would later reflect in his first epistle, perhaps reflecting on this very event, "Cast all, not some, but all your anxieties on him." And why? Because he cares for you. In both the exorcism in the synagogue and in the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, we see Jesus' authority and his compassion at work in equal measure. He addresses the big problems, and he addresses the small ones, bringing healing and restoration to all who need him. But still, there is an even greater truth at the heart of this text to be revealed. For you notice that Jesus does all of this without asking anything at all in return. He does not charge a fee. He does not demand tribute or payment or worship. Instead, he takes the ultimate fee upon himself to secure our salvation. Remember how we heard that every work of Jesus directs our focus and attention to the cross? Well, the miracles in Capernaum point to Jesus' ultimate mission, to deal with the root problem of our suffering that is sin itself. For sin is that root cause of all suffering, all sickness, and all death. Sin is what separates us from our God and brings us under the power of death and the devil. No human effort, no reason or strength of our own could ever solve this problem. It's a job that is just too big for any of us to handle. So what does Jesus do? He takes that problem onto himself. On Calvary's cross, Jesus paid the full price for our sin. He bore the whole punishment that we deserved, and he died in our place. By his death and resurrection, he has utterly routed the powers of sin, death, and the devil, and he accomplished the biggest job of all, securing our salvation and reconciling us to our God. This again he did, not for a fee, but as a gift freely given, suffering under the wages of our sin in our place. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we place our confidence, this day and all days, in his authority and his compassion for us. Bringing every concern to our Lord Jesus, we may rest assured that he will always hear us and help us, whether we are facing a problem that seems insurmountable or whether we have a worry that feels downright trivial. We believe and confess that our Lord cares for us and that he has the power to help us. Trusting that Christ has conquered every foe on our behalf, we live in the assurance that his promise of salvation, that still greater healing, is good. Sin, death, and the devil, they have no claim on us because Jesus has snatched us out of our hands. He has called us his own in the waters of holy baptism. Therefore, even in times of suffering and uncertainty, still, we find consolation knowing that our Lord is at work for us, that he continues to labor to bring about another, still more perfect, restoration. And so, as his church, we lift one another up in the comfort of his word of power. We look forward together to that day when all the world, not just some, will acknowledge his authority, and he will make all things new. On the last day, our Lord Christ has promised that he will return to raise us from the dead and give us new and glorified bodies, bodies which are free from every sickness, every suffering, every pain. This last and complete healing he promises to all whose trust is in him. For there is no job too big, and there is no problem too small for Christ our Lord. He invites us to bring every one of our cares to him, trusting in his power and love. So then, dear friends, give thanks to God. Give thanks to him in times of comfort and peace, and give thanks to him in times of suffering and trial. Regardless of the day's circumstances, rejoice in the gift of his Son, Christ Jesus, who has conquered sin, death, and the devil, and whose authoritative word will carry us out of this valley of sorrows and into the life of the world to come. In his most mighty name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.